Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. Hey, I'm Shauna Compton Game. This is Millennial Money, and today we're talking entrepreneurial dreams in Jackson, Tennessee.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton Game. It will expand your brain.
Everyone knows that putting money aside in savings is really important. But then what? Should you keep your savings locked in a CD for a higher rate or keep them liquid in a money market? Can your checking account help you save too? Or is it about creating the right combination? We believe real banking is a conversation. Let's talk about the savings options that are right for you. Learn more at sandyspringbank.com. Member FDIC.
All right. So this week we decided to highlight some entrepreneurs from a small town in Tennessee called Jackson. And you actually had a chance to travel to Jackson recently and meet with these people. So tell me a little bit about them and about Jackson.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we like to spotlight entrepreneurs around the country. And I thought this was a really unique story that I just happened to be on a press trip that we went to Memphis for a few days. Then we went to Jackson talking about their They have a really big music history there in Jackson. So it's a really cool city. There's music there all the time. I'm looking at their website right now, and they have a ton of events just coming up in the next few months. But they have, like, all year round. It's this really cool city. And one of the things we got to do was they actually have an escape room in Jackson. Jackson is between Nashville and Memphis. Really, like I said, a really cool town, really unique. The downtown area is really funky and stuff. And a lot of really cool people in there. That's the key here. But we actually got to spend some time in the Jackson Escape Room, which is owned by Lee and created by Lee Wilson, who we're going to actually speak with and stuff. And he was actually contestant on the TV show The Hunted, and he actually won with his partner. A CBS show that was on last year. So that's pretty cool. But he started his business from the Co., which is what we actually discovered after we got back. I did some research and found this place, which is a co-working place and an entrepreneur incubator, right?
Yes. Yeah. So much like you'd see in the big cities, like they're doing some really cool stuff in this small city.
Yeah, so Lee did not have a background in, and he'll talk about that, in escape rooms or anything like that. And they sort of started this business through the Co., through their mentoring program that they have there and stuff. And Lee's story is really interesting. The Co. story is really interesting. So we just thought it would be fun to kind of highlight a city that you maybe not, you know, like you said, one always think that they would have this cool kind of workspace.
Yeah, I mean, traditionally, you think you have to go to one of the coasts in order to, thrive as an entrepreneur. And although Dan talks about, you know, there's a different type of entrepreneur that they have coming to the Co., but it still is a place for creativity. It still is a place, you know, that people have launched successful businesses like Lee Wilson, you know, where he's actually growing a very successful company just, you know, from the resources in this small town. So it really sort of changes, I think, the way you should think of as an entrepreneur. You don't necessarily have to be, you know, a small fish in a big pond. Maybe you could be a big fish in a small pond and it might work out better for you and your business.
Yeah. And maybe I should have got this stat exactly but we just watched the thing on Vice last night about people starting business and entrepreneurs and small businesses. And didn't they say something about that the most successful ones are in rural areas and stuff and not in bigger cities and stuff.
Yeah. And it's definitely true because I think that there's more of a sense of community in those smaller rural areas. And, you know, there aren't a lot of, you know, I guess I would say super creative entrepreneurial businesses all the time. So I think a community really rallies around, you know, a new idea, a fresh idea, especially if it's an interesting, you know, addition to the community. And it could be a great place to, you know, lift off. And not to mention, you know, being an entrepreneur in a smaller city, everything's just less expensive. And when you're an entrepreneur and you're starting up, everything is out of pocket. It's expensive.
Yeah, you could be really a bigger fish in a smaller pond too, but yet still be really successful and grow. So Lee has also grown his business. They have two other cities that they have escape rooms in too.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, he's been able to, you know, grow past the small city, if you will, but still, you know, have a successful business there and other places and continue to grow. And he got a CBS show out of it. So, you know, that's not a bad deal.
Yeah. So, okay. So enjoy our conversation, but, and interviews that you did as well too with Lee and Dan here from the Co. But check out our website as well. We're going to have links to Visit Jackson and the Escape Room and the Co. And check these things out and go, hey, you know, maybe I'd like to start this in my community, or I want to be a part of something like this, or maybe even go check out the Co. and go do their training program.
So, Lee, we met a few months ago in Jackson, your home and where you have one of your businesses. Tell us your story and kind of how you came. Like, you weren't really looking to be an entrepreneur in college. You had a different major, right?
Correct. I'm very much an accidental entrepreneur. My parents.
That's a really great term too. Accidental entrepreneur. So.
Yeah, I just kind of slipped and fell into it. I think that the reason that that I was able to, like, I don't know, just think of an idea and generate the force of will to bring it about is because my parents are both contractors. My dad's the president of a commercial construction company in Austin, Texas, and my mom was a residential home builder that owned her own business. So I was kind of around owning and operating businesses as a child, but never really had it in mind that that was something that I aspired to. And so I went off to college and studied English literature and then got married, moved to Louisville, Kentucky, went to seminary, got a theology degree. And that degree is what ultimately led me to little Jackson, Tennessee, where I had never, ever dreamed or wished of living. And I worked at a university, Union University here in Jackson. And that's kind of what brought me to this area. And then after working the same job, doing student support and teaching some classes, I kind of got to the point in my career where it's like, okay, this is what I can do, and I'm just doing the same things over and over and over again without a whole lot of change, without a whole lot of upward mobility. I didn't really want to stay in higher ed, and it was out of that kind of frustration and boredom that I started looking around at other stuff. And really, it was a close friend of mine who is like the biggest game puzzle nerd you could ever imagine. He's the one that had heard about escape rooms and told me a little bit about what an escape room was. And I was like, well, I'm really bored. I want something else to do. I bet people will play those things. Let's just build some. And he's like, Lee, I've never been in an escape room. I was like, well, neither have I. How hard can it be? You're locking people in rooms for fun and you're giving them a bunch of cool stuff to do while they're in there. I think that you and I have the skill set to make that happen. And so, yeah, we both put in about $2,000 each and built these four rooms and planned to operate them for a week. And they just exploded. I mean, we call it now the experiment gone horribly right. I mean, it went from being open for 1 week to selling out for 3 weeks and having almost 2,500 people come and play. And since then, it's just escalated from pop-up to full-time business to three full-time businesses and expanded to Murfreesboro, Tennessee and Waco, Texas. And it's just like taken over the world, taken over my world at least.
What do you think draws people to escape rooms? I mean, do you think love that element of kind of escape and solving puzzles? And
I think it's different things for different people for sure. But I think that the golden thread that kind of weaves through the whole experience is that it is immersive entertainment. You know, it's not just playing a video game that's on a screen. It's not just going and watching a movie that's on a screen. It's not going and watching a sports game where you're kind of in the audience and other people are doing the action. It's not a family game night where you're just kind of playing a puzzle or game that's on the table in front of you. It's you step into a scenario and a story, and you are surrounded by the thing that you came to do. And that's a pretty unique experience. There are not many things that offer that kind of engagement, that kind of excitement, that even comes with that little bit of pressure of the timer ticking down. And people are watching you that are, you know, like making sure you're not breaking things, but also giving you clues. And like all of that comes together into this really addictive experience that generates adrenaline and excitement for, you know, mom and dad and the little kids and grandma and grandpa. So everybody can do it.
Well, how did you go from not being ever in one to actually go, all right, we could actually do this, or this is how you do it, I should say?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we just reinvented the whole concept as we went along. I mean, we knew an escape room is basically a room with a story or theme, and then loaded into that room is all kinds of different puzzles and riddles and surprises and things that people have to figure out. They've got a timeline, 60 minutes. We have to have some way to keep an eye on them to make sure that they're not breaking things, or if they need help, we can give them help. And so off of that core kind of concept, we just figured it all out. I mean, we just put it all together and came up with an idea and a story and said, okay, well, what if we have one where you're like a military code breaker? That'd be really cool. What if we have one where you're like trapped in a nursery and we can make it a little bit more family friendly? And, you know, what if we had one that it was just like you step in and there's like 300 bottles on the wall and we'll call it message in a bottle. And you've got to figure out like how all of these like messages and keys and symbols on these bottles fit together. And then another one was inspired by, you know, just kind of the, your typical high school nerded out kid that's into, to comics and Harry Potter. And we called it Avenge of the Nerds. And so we just started with those like little stories and just let them kind of bake. And a story leads to an idea and Codebreaker, you've got to have like some kind of code system. So like, let's figure out a code system. And so it was really just an exploration of those different themes led to all of the puzzles that actually create the experience inside the room.
Right. And I was really unexpected that you guys actually had that. And even when you kind of pull up to the one in Jackson, it's sort of a nondescript office building. Once you guys get in the place, you guys have a really cool setup there. Is that something you kind of developed when you were at the Co? And you know, tell us a little bit your experience with the Co and how you know, what the things you learned from them.
Yeah, so the Co has been everything for us. We started escape rooms before I really knew about the Co. And then in the middle of that very first pop-up experience we had, where things are just gangbusters, like tons of people are coming to play, we're making a lot of money, we have no idea what we're doing. Like, I didn't know that we had to pay sales tax. Like, we didn't know anything. And so I immediately realized, like, okay, this is a bigger thing than just a few $1,000 that's going to, you know, kind of get us through to the summer and our family budget. Like this is, we got to figure this out. And so I started looking around and I discovered the Co and all of the different services, the makerspace that they have, the team, the board of directors and people that work there as collaborators, but also work there as, you know, staffers and whatnot at the Co. I just realized that there was this unbelievably rich resource of things that I can use to create more escape rooms, but then also people that can help me stay out of trouble. And one of those resources that they offered was the Co-Starter program, which is, you know, originated in Chattanooga. And it's just this phenomenal program that's real short. It's 9 weeks and it's just a high intensity series of conversations that help you think about a new business or a business idea and determine if it's viable. And if it is viable, how in the world do you sell it to people and make it stand on its own two legs? And so I enrolled in that program and man, it was incredible. It was exactly what I needed. We had access to lawyers. We had access to accountants who told us about the sales tax thing.
Ah, the taxes.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Who even knew? So, you know, we all of a sudden had all of these connections that really allowed us to become a real grown-up business and not just, you know, for millennials that are making a little bit of money and, you know, not knowing it, but getting themselves in trouble with the IRS pretty quick if we didn't smarten up. So that the co did all of that for us.
I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin' Money under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress toward your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And I think, you know, I mean, we're in a big city in Los Angeles, and of course we always expect, you know, places like that to exist in these big cities, but you often don't think about, you know, in smaller areas, smaller cities, that there can be these great kind of entrepreneurial communities. And I think that's really what's so awesome, is there, that those are cropping up in all of these different, you know, cities and towns kind of all around.
Yeah. And sometimes I actually think that it is easier in a place like Jackson.
Exactly.
To get something like that up and running, because I mean, the kind of money that you guys have to pay on the coasts for real estate is insane.
That's a good word. Yes.
Around here, I mean, I can go downtown and pay $125,000 for 3,000 square feet of a really solid building, historic building in downtown Jackson that has a lot of character and a lot of vibe to it, and go in and, you know, spruce it up and change some things for not a whole lot of money. And all of a sudden, like, you have a high power business in Jackson, Tennessee. And, you know, you just can't play the same game in Los Angeles or New York City or Washington, D.C.
Right. And so, and you guys have opened up in three different cities. Are you planning to expand the business a little bit more, or just kind of keep where you are as of right now?
We may. Right now, I'm coming out of a pretty unbelievable year of life. I was on national TV on a TV show called Hunted on CBS.
Where we were going to ask about that next.
Yeah, yes. Where I was it was a reality competition game where myself and one of my best friends are fugitives that are running from a team of 32 former CIA, FBI, Homeland Security type men and women. And so for 28 days, we were on the run and managed to not get caught and won $250,000 in the process. And all of that kind of came out at the beginning of the year. And since then, we've just been scrambling to keep up with all the opportunities that have resulted from being on that show. So like now, finally, in the last week, things have slowed down and I actually have a schedule in my iPad that doesn't involve me traveling every 3 or 4 days. So
right now, how did that series come about?
So it originally was a show in the UK that was created by Endemol Shine as the production company. And it was super successful over in the UK, and they decided to bring it over to the United States. The way I got involved was actually through escape rooms. So one of the people who were leading casting, her name's Ellen Davis, and she had played an escape room up where she lives in Pittsburgh, and walked out of it and was like, oh man. So the people that just created the room that I played basically build small scenarios that are designed to trap you, and you have to get out of it. That was really fascinating. And I'm casting this show where we're going to throw people into a 100,000 square mile area, and it's their job to escape it. I wonder if these people that make these rooms would be good at like being in the middle of this large scale scenario. And so she started doing research on escape rooms in the Southeast, because that's where they're casting the show out of. And that's how she came across our website and got in contact with me and kind of recruited us and pulled us into being involved in this wild and crazy show.
That's great. That is crazy. So where can people find your escape rooms online if they're visiting one of those cities? And which cities are they in again?
Yeah, so Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Waco, Texas, and Jackson, Tennessee. The one place you can go to get funneled out to all of those things is hammerandwolf.com. And then that's also the place to go if anybody's interested in getting into escape rooms themselves. So we do escape room licensing and consulting as well. So that's kind of your one-stop shop to get connected to Lee Wilson and my escape room world.
All right, Dan, I am so excited to have you join us on the podcast to talk all about this really cool space called The Co.
Mm-hmm. So, well, thank you for having me.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about kind of how The Co started and, you know, why it's really important to have a space like this in a town like Jackson.
Sure. Yeah. So The Co started, I believe, as kind of a solution to a problem that a few guys here in West Tennessee, and particularly Jackson, Tennessee, these guys all had their own businesses they were currently running day to day, but they were looking for what's next. And they kept meeting at a local taco joint, but they're like, you know what, this is just not working out. We feel like we have to buy food every time, you know, or I'm sure it was Panera or whatever. You know, most people kind of just hang up for the day and chat. Well, these guys were looking for a place that they could feel comfortable expressing their next business ideas and ventures and what they loved, and you know, they were kind of nerding out. But long story short, these guys kept meeting for tacos and were sick of that place and wanted a place of their own. Well, it turns out at the same time, there was an entity called the Entrepreneur Development Center here in West Tennessee, operating under the grant that we currently run under. Some stuff hit the fan with that current management, and these guys swooped in and convinced the state that they were the right guys to run a place like this. And so it did a complete rebrand and ended up being called The Co. And that can be short for a lot of people ask us, what does The Co stand for? Well, collaborate, co-work, converge, anything meaning together, essentially. And so we have The Co. And out of that, these five co-founders, they pulled some strings and got some stuff done all within a quick year. And they got a 10,000 square foot facility donated,
wow,
which is huge for, you know, in terms of what we ended up being able to use our grant money for. So instead of, you know, it going towards rent, we were able to buy better tools and build out our programming. And then what we have to show for it is this amazing facility that's got a co-working space, a maker space, and an events facility as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. So tell me a little bit about kind of the different programming that you guys do there.
Sure. So I'm going to go through my mental list here. First that comes to mind are our meetups. We host these meetups and they're free. It's basically kind of like the first thing we always suggest to someone who wants to get involved in what we have to offer here at The Co. These meetups happen every Tuesday night. And they repeat every month. So if you can't make it to one, well, hang tight. It'll happen again. And so each of these meetups are a different focus, but they're entrepreneurial topics. So first Tuesday of every month is a makers meetup. So people who are interested in using our 3D printer to prototype things, or our laser cutter, or our CNC router. We got a lot of engineers and makers that show up to that meetup. And then the second Tuesday of every month is a social media marketing focused meetup, where we have local professionals who don't mind donating some of their time and knowledge to give back to the community and people starting their businesses, and teach them, you know, how do you target your customer audience on Facebook or Instagram. So they talk about those. The third Tuesday of every month is a computer programming meetup, which is a huge, huge goal of ours, is to grow our developer scene here in West Tennessee. And so we host a meetup for them. Still a small group, and we're hoping to get more. But, the fact that if we stay consistent and we provide this outlet for them to meet up and meet one another, I think it'll kind of naturally grow in that sense. And then our last meetup that happens regularly is our AM Creative Meetup, which is more focused towards the creatives of our community. When creatives and tech enthusiasts meet, there are some pretty cool ideas that can happen. And so we offer an outlet for that. And then so those are our meetups. And then on top of that, we host we do so much. We have we call it the Co-toberfest, where we get to showcase all of these amazing makers and builders here in West Tennessee and let the public come in and view their craft. We have anything from robots to VR setup, virtual reality setups. We have pottery, It's just kind of it's just a neat weekend. You really don't get anything like it. It's great. It's fun for the kids. We have food trucks, stuff like that, just to kind of promote the whole entrepreneurial scene here in West Tennessee. And then as well, we have our Best in the West business competition, which is like a Shark Tank type deal where we send out the applications for people to submit their best ideas. And then once we whittle those down, we will get three finalists where they each get a promotional video made on their behalf. And then we kind of convert that all into pitch night where they get in front of the public as well as some potential local investors and show off what they've got. And so this year we're coming up on our pitch night and we've got our three finalists, and I can say we're pretty pleased with the turnout and the applications as well. So that was cool.
Yeah. Awesome. So have you had any, you know, kind of good success stories that you can rave about that have come out of the co already?
Yeah, of course, Lee. So Lee Wilson, I mean, he's just a walking billboard for us in the terms of like their idea started, like most ideas do, kind of in the garage of someone's like, you know what, this would be a really cool entertainment. So for those of you who don't know, Lee is the president and owner of our Jackson Escape Room Company, which is an amazing outlet to bring the whole family to and kind of see if you can escape a room once you've been locked in it. But Lee and his team started really small, and then they brought it to us and we helped him out. He went through some of our programmings, which I haven't mentioned yet, called Co-Starters, which is like a 9-week program. It's a business boot camp type thing where just meet once a week and work on this idea. And so Lee went through that. And then once he was done, man, did he take off, acquired a building downtown Jackson and opened up their doors, built out the rooms. And, he's been killing it ever since. And now he's got a location in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and, as well as Waco, Texas, that apparently he's doing even better than Jackson.
Wow. And a TV show.
Yes, that's right. That was a pretty cool thing he got to do, being on the CBS show Hunted. And so he's trying to play that up. And, you know, I think that's the reason they liked him, is because of what he was doing on his own, running that escape room business. So it just made sense. So that's Lee. And then who else do we have? We have another entrepreneur by the name of Kevin Adelsberger. He's going to love this shout out. But I have literally seen this guy. He was one of our first members 3 years ago when we opened up our doors. And he walked in and said, guys, I'm Kevin so-and-so, and I just quit my full-time job. It was stressing me out. I couldn't do it anymore. And so I'm starting a business of my own. And so I've literally seen him get his first client, his second client, up until the point where he quit his part-time job he took on to kind of take over some expenses. And now he's even to the point where he's able to have his wife quit her job and help out.
Awesome.
So it's just, you know, things like that, this being able to watch that happen all under our roof is amazing.
Yeah. You know, I think it's really interesting. You know, I'm in Los Angeles, and, you know, when we think of entrepreneurs, you know, we think of traditionally either the West Coast or San Francisco in particular.
Yes,
area.
Very much so.
You know, but we don't think of, you know, middle America, where there can be these great kind of, you know, convergence of entrepreneurs, you know, starting these businesses that are fully sustainable. What do you think makes the difference about an entrepreneur center like the Co, you know, in Jackson?
Yeah. So I think you've got, and what makes it different in terms of something that you might find out west is, I believe these people are just so tied in with the community. And I think it's tough to get out there in West Coast when everyone's hustling.
Definitely.
So community is a huge factor in what makes these businesses successful. Kevin, as I was just talking about, I mean, he has now positioned himself to be our Chamber of Commerce is like go-to marketing guy. So this guy, so Kevin's meeting like everyone in town who's a go-getter. And, you know, and even the co-founders talk about this all the time. They don't think they would have been able to pull this off in a bigger market than Jackson, just because of who they knew. They really utilized their community and the people they knew in West Tennessee. And it's worked. It's a lot of things have gone right for us. And,
yep. And I think the cool thing about that story or that message is that, you know, a lot of times you think you've got to go to one of the coasts to be successful as an entrepreneur. And it's nice to kind of blow up that myth.
It's true. Yes, it's true. We definitely don't think we're always needed. But gosh, it is just, you know, you'd be silly not to stop and at least say hi to us and tell us what you're up to. So you just never know what we can do to help you and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. So what does the future look like for the code? Are you just going to keep building, keep, you know, getting more programming?
It is, you know, it's a great question because our co-founders have this undeniable quest for just moving forward. And so about 2 years ago, we built out this 38-foot bus. It's an old Bluebird, kind of looks like a beefed up school bus. It has generators on it. And we retrofitted this bus to be a mobile innovation lab where we crammed all the technology we have in our facility and threw it on this bus. And so part of the grant that we operate under not only makes us serve Jackson, Tennessee, where we're located, but as well as like the rural counties that surround us. And so we found it difficult to reach them. And we thought this bus would be a great idea to pack it up for the day and go to them. And so, well, long story short, the state that watches us and gives us our money loved that idea. And they just awarded us with a massive grant to build out 3 more buses. So for the next 2 or 3 years, I can easily say that's probably going to be our focus, along with another program, which I haven't mentioned yet, but I'll get to that. But yeah, these buses are huge. I mean, and they're only going to get bigger than the ones we have. And, so we purchased our first bus a couple weeks ago, and we're gutting it and pulling things out, running HDMI cables for the TVs we're cramming in there. I mean, it's going to be cool. So we're going to be right busy on. Doing that.
I love that. I wish that, you know, more communities had something like that, you know?
It is pretty neat. I mean, you should see the people's eyes light up when these things roll through their quiet little town.
Right, exactly. What
it's
is
a
this?
Statement. It's a statement, that's for sure.
Yeah. So what's the other programming?
So their programming is something that we have implemented in our area high schools, and it's called our Dev Catalyst program. Dev, short for developer. And the idea here is because we know we have a need for developers here in West Tennessee. Yeah, there's a lot you can do to convince someone to move their family, but I guess we thought about it easier that it's more like, you know, plant the seeds, start younger, grow our talent here in West Tennessee, instead of trying to acquire it from elsewhere. And so all of our West Tennessee area high schools have CTE programs or computer classes, and we've partnered with them and convinced them to swap out what they were teaching and teach our program called Dev Catalyst. And essentially it's a browser-based coding curriculum. And what's great, it's super easy to implement, affordable, definitely affordable per student. And the teacher that's hosting it doesn't really need to know much about programming. Which is great because not many
probably
of them
makes
do.
Them feel better.
yes, and so we curate the content. We, you know, we keep it updated with different JavaScripts. I mean, I'm clearly not a coder. I'm more of a hands-on guy. But you know, these kids are walking through HTML, learn how to build websites, and then there's even like physical programming applications that can be applied to robots, stuff like that. But here's the cool part: because it is a self-paced program, these kids log in whenever they need to and get their work done. But because it's self-paced, we dangle this little incentive over them. And it's an all-expenses-paid trip to San Francisco, where we give them private tours of LinkedIn, Facebook, Google, Pivotal Labs, Apple, just to kind of expose these kids to a career path in the tech industry, and particularly programming. But the goal is not to make them want to move out west, but to keep them here in West Tennessee. You guys have plenty of programmers out there.
Yeah, we've got plenty of out here. Yeah, we need to spread the love around.
right. So, but you know, some of these kids have never left the state, let alone flown on an airplane or stayed away from their parents longer than a week. And so, you know, this is truly a really neat trip. And so this past one, we took about 25 students and about 7 teachers and flew them all out there. And, you know, they did some sightseeing stuff too. It wasn't all just work, but I think they definitely come back a changed kid. And you know, the few that really love it are going to probably stay in that industry and continue to learn coding and programming and who knows, develop some, you know, the next big app. But that's our Dev Catalyst program, and it's been going great. We're going on year 4, and we're getting more and more high schools involved, and it's been awesome.
That's so fantastic. So for any listeners who maybe are in your area or maybe this is intriguing them, you know, where can they find out more information about the Co and kind of get plugged in?
So it's kind of funny. Everyone that comes that eventually finds us is like, I can't believe I have not found this sooner. And there's a reason for that. We really don't advertise much because we're looking for quality over quantity. Sure. We want to attract the people that need us. And you know, if you type in the right search terms in Google, we will show up. It's not like we're in, you know,
invisible.
Nowhere. Yeah, right. Exactly. But for people, for those of you who want to learn more, we've got an amazing website filled with too much information. and that is attheco.com. It's www.attheco.com. We've got a Facebook page where our YouTube page could probably get a little more intense in the content side of things. But, you know, we're busy building out this building here and the rest of our programs to make a bunch of videos just yet. But we're getting there. And then we'll see what else. Instagram. We've got Instagram at the co. And I'm trying to think of anywhere else that we show up quite prevalently. That's about it.
That's awesome. Well, thanks, Dan, so much for taking some time and sharing about the co. And again, I think I just inspiring, you know, entrepreneurial listeners who maybe don't live, you know, in areas that where you think you have to live as an entrepreneur, that there are other options out there.
Yeah, well, and just one last thing. I think this, you know, the co, if you look at it as in kind of terms of a model for other places, that we're operating out of an unused restaurant. The restaurant left this building, and so we had the dining area, which is our co-working space. The kitchen is now an industrial workshop, and then this restaurant had an event space. And so it's just worked out great in that terms of, like, if anyone's out there who wants to start a facility like this, probably take a look at some rundown restaurants or, you know, dormant restaurants. And so it's just a great fit, as well as, you know, a lot of counties around us don't even have internet. And we have a gigabyte internet here, super fast. So that's another huge perk that we're able to provide to our entrepreneurs that come through the co.